This podcast contains descriptions of violence against children and adult language and is not suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised. Hi, everyone, and welcome to Suffer the Little Children, the true crime podcast giving voices back to the victims of child abuse and shining a harsh spotlight on the parents, guardians, and caretakers who silence them. I'm your host, Lane, and this is episode 77, Dante Mullinix, part 2. Last week, I told you the story of 2-year-old Dante Mullinix of York, Pennsylvania, who died in the hospital on September 15, 2018. Dante's death was ruled a homicide caused by traumatic brain injury with strangulation and chest compression, but Dante's head and body were also covered in bruises, and he suffered from an active case of herpes too. My guest in today's episode is Dante's maternal aunt, Sarah Mullinix, who helped her sister raise Dante for all but the last 3 months of his life and petitioned the court for emergency custody of her nephew when she found out Leah and Dante were homeless. Even after his death, Sarah continues fighting for Dante. Sarah and I talked about the circumstances of Dante's life and untimely death, and about the man she believes was wrongfully accused of her nephew's murder. This is part 2 of the mind-boggling story of Dante Mullinix. Before I play my conversation with Sarah for you, I'd like to give a quick but heartfelt shout-out to my newest patrons, Jessica P. from Traverse City, Michigan, and Beck from Camp Crystal Lake. Thank you both so much for your support. If you'd like to support the show and help me reach my goal of permanently devoting myself to the podcast and the blog on a full-time basis, you can visit patreon.com/stlcpod. Monthly pledges of $10 or more get you access to a small but growing collection of Patreon-exclusive bonus minisodes, which I try to put out once or twice a month. With that, here's my conversation with Dante's aunt, Sarah Mullinix. Hi, Sarah. Thanks so much for joining me.
Hi, you're welcome.
What would you like to tell me about Dante? What was he like?
Dante was a happy baby, this smile could light up the room, and we loved his giggle. Whenever he would laugh, he'd stick his hands over his mouth when he was laughing.
I saw the one video of him on the group, the little video of him at the playground with Mel Mel. He's just so sweet.
Yeah, that was out in my yard.
They were pretty cute together. They were pretty close, right?
Yeah, they were. They used to share binkies. Like, whenever she'd lose her binky, and then she sees that he has extra, she'd, like, reach in his crib and take it. But then she'd also give him a binky, too.
Yeah, and she's just under 2 years older than him?
She is almost 2 years older than him. Because he's September and she's November.
Does she remember him?
Yes, she does.
How old is she now?
She is 7. She's going to be 8 in November.
I don't envy the investigators. I know they must be going through. Like you said, it's not a simple case.
Yeah, because it's just like Discovery is over 10,000 pages long and they have like 58 discs, and that's not including my Facebook page.
I can't imagine this being an easy case for anyone, but especially you, having tried to save Dante.
Yeah, so close.
Exactly. I know that the reporter from the York Daily Record went over a lot of background with you guys, and that was actually really important, I think. Were you concerned about any of Leah's behavior while she was growing up?
While she was growing up, no. I was like a second mom to Leah when she was little. I got her to take her first step. She was behind on walking.
Okay, she was 2. So, because Dante was as well, right? He didn't walk till he was almost 2?
Dante was a little bit behind on walking. And also, I think they like both of them had like a chewing issue. They had to have early intervention.
You were just about 10 years older than her, right?
Yep.
Yeah, I could see how you'd take over some of the motherly duties.
Yeah, I always had a kid on my hip because I have pictures of her, like pictures of me holding her.
And then your mom moved to Texas. Was it you who stayed behind in Pennsylvania?
My mom moved a couple of times when Leo was younger. Like she moved to Texas, and then she came back for so many years, and then she moved and took my other little sister with her, and Leah stayed up with my dad. I stayed here the whole time. I was in placement. I was in a maternity home because I was pregnant at the time. That the maternity home don't exist no more in York.
I wonder, would they call that like a group home or a residential home now?
I was in a residential home before that, though. I was in a group home, a girls group home. And then eventually they couldn't keep me there, obviously, because I was pregnant and they weren't set up for that.
That was your first baby when you were 15. And then you have five now, right?
Yeah, I have a total of five.
So as far as Leah goes, there wasn't anything that really concerned you growing up. She was fairly normal.
Demetria is normal.
And she said something about being bullied and told that she was not going to amount to anything.
I don't know if she was bullied because, like, when I was growing up, I knew what bullying is because I was bullied. No. Because, like, the whole being told what she ain't going to amount to nothing, I was told I wasn't going to be a good mother and that I should give my child up for adoption. So her getting bullied, I have no idea what she could come up with that or who was supposedly bullying her.
So, yeah, it sounds like she could have come up with that later as a convenient excuse for something or other.
Something, because like Leah, like one thing with Leah, like since we were so close, is like, I don't know, like she tries to be like me. So maybe that's why she's using that for maybe to try to get pity. Some of us don't use stuff like that for pity. Well, I don't use anything like that for pity. I can care less. She has a victim mentality.
That's something I noticed throughout her interviews. She definitely doesn't take ownership of anything, it seems like.
No, she don't.
She moved into your house when she turned 18.
On her 18th birthday.
So she couldn't wait to get out of the house.
To get out of my dad's, yeah.
Did she live with your dad the whole time, or did she live with your mom while she lived in Pennsylvania?
Mom lived in Pennsylvania for a little bit, and then she lived with mom. But when mom went to go move, Leah wanted to stay behind because I was here. So that's why she stayed with dad.
So she really was super close to you. Like, she did consider you a mom almost.
Pretty much.
So she stayed with your dad and then moved in with you as soon as she turned 18. And she got pregnant pretty quick.
Well, yeah, that's the whole messed up situation in itself.
Right, of course.
Because originally I used to live back at my dad's on the same property. And then when we moved over here, which is up the road from my dad's place, and then which me and Leah weren't talking at that time because I was mad at her because some of the stories that she was trying to tell about somebody else that I used to be with, which wasn't even true. And then I was mad at her for it because she has, like, she don't apologize for anything either.
It's not her fault. It's someone else's.
It's never her fault. It's always somebody else's. I didn't really have anything to do with her for a while because, like I said, I was pissed at her at some stuff that she turned around did.
So you guys reconciled and she moved in with you and then she ended up.
Well, we didn't reconcile. That was like the guy I was with, which is the father of two of my children, his excuse, he wanted to help her because she has it supposedly so bad at my dad's house. I really didn't want her in the house because I wanted to slap the shit out of her because of the stuff that she did and said and never apologized for.
But Joe was the catalyst there. He wanted to bring her in.
Joe is a narcissistic psychopath. He wanted to bring her in. When she first moved in, he would always take her with him because I turned around and told him if he left her here, I would slap the shit out of her.
Okay.
So he took her. And Leah was still in school, too.
So did she stay with you for a while she was pregnant? She lived with you that whole time?
She lived with me the whole time. I left her stay even after what she did.
So she graduated high school. And then she ended up having Dante in September.
Yep.
And how was she as a mom at the beginning?
I helped her a lot with him in the beginning because I, like, growing up, like, I was a teen mom. So I had no support system. I didn't have that luxury of having somebody help me. My mommy didn't help me. My dad didn't help me. So I know what it's like doing it alone. So I helped her with him. Like, the first day, like, when she came home, like, she said she was so tired, she didn't really sleep in the hospital. I took him with me upstairs, and he like, stayed the night with me.
Wow. And were you there when he was born, you said?
Yes, I was there when he was born. I cut his cord. I got to play the daddy role.
That's probably a part of the bond. You know, you were there from the first minute.
Yep.
And you guys were super close, I know. How was he as a baby? Was he a good-tempered baby?
To me, he was an easy baby. Like most of my kids are easy kids. Like, some people have colicky children. He wasn't colicky. Normal baby.
When did you start noticing that he had some kind of developmental delays?
Some of the stuff that he would do, like, he would rock back and forth at times. So that's kind of like you know, there's something there maybe. And then the whole, like, there's times I'd see him like rubbing the monkey blanket on his face and go to sleep with it. Because my oldest, he has autism. My son was verbal. Dante was nonverbal. Because you could turn on top because like this whole saying just ooh and yeah. And he was around Melanie all the time. And they had like a real close bond and still like he didn't really talk.
Early intervention got involved in 2017 when I guess it was CYS got a referral.
Yeah.
And so she had a number of CYS complaints.
It's whenever he got into daycare and stuff is when he started getting the reports. Because I know some of the daycare staff told me that they called on her, but they can't exactly say what it was because, you know, confidentiality.
That's the piece I was missing. I wasn't sure who they were coming from or why. They always investigated her and everything was pretty much unfounded other than giving the early intervention services and things like that.
Yeah, that was it. Just the early intervention services. And then she got into the work. They helped her get into the work ready program, too, which then they helped her get a car.
At that time, she was still living with you.
Yep.
And then I guess it was summer of 2018. So you guys had a falling out and she decided to move out.
What I turned around and did was I gave her 30 days to find a place. But I would have never kicked her out to the streets if she didn't have a place because she was on the housing list. 2 weeks after she left my house, her name came up on a housing list. But she never forwarded her address, though, and she never got any of her mail. She never did any of that stuff. She never even contacted Dante's early intervention therapist or kept up on that when she left my house.
So he didn't really have any care or services after that.
Yeah, and I had no idea where she was. I just knew she was in New York.
Is that when she started hanging around with the wrong people?
When she left, I guess she met somebody at the Work Ready program, a girl that I guess lived in New York. And then that's when she went over to her place. And then that's where she met Holiday and moved in with him. And she didn't even know him.
Okay, so she just started staying with him right away.
Yep.
That must have been the start of a downward spiral for her.
Pretty much.
So she was involved with people who may or may not have been involved with gangs and drugs and all that.
They were involved with gangs and drugs.
She never did any drugs prior to that.
No.
Okay, so she just kind of jumped headfirst into the lifestyle.
Yeah, she's, unfortunately, Leah is like a follower.
So what she got into York is when Dante's life took a downturn. How many different places did they live?
She lived with Holiday and then she got kicked out of Holiday's. I think it was like August 15th is when she became homeless because she cheated on Holiday with the guy, which we call him Wi-Fi Mike. Because she went to his place to get a Wi-Fi password and ended up staying inside a little longer and had Holiday's cousin's girl with her, which was out in the car with Dante. And then as soon as they got back to the house, she told on her and then Holiday's sisters and moms and all of them kicked her out.
That is a whole episode of Jerry Springer right there. So she got kicked out of Holiday's house. She stayed with someone else for a day.
She was staying in a hotel room. Someone helped her get a hotel room.
That's why she had to get out.
One of the little guys rented a hotel room for, I think, a day or two for her.
Suddenly she got a message from Tyree out of the blue. And so they started talking and he invited her over to his mom's to give the baby a bath.
I know he invited her over or whatever they met up because she had no place to go. So he was more or less helping her.
So he let her stay there for a little bit?
I don't think she stayed at his house, at the house, not at his mom's house. I think he rented her a room. He helped get her a room. And he was also the one that traveled, eventually got her into the domestic violence shelter.
Now, as far as Tyree goes, they definitely dug into his criminal history and all that. But just going by the messages that I've seen and you know, even that one picture of Dante just kind of laying on him, it looks like he cared about the baby.
Yeah.
I mean, I know they only knew each other for a few weeks, but I can imagine Dante wasn't a difficult kid to come to love.
Nope, he wasn't. I know when Tyree first met Dante, I guess Dante seemed a little scared, probably because of Leah's past guys she had around. And he had bruises and stuff on him too when he first met him.
And he did say in the messages that the genital infection was already there as soon as he met Dante, as soon as he met Leah.
Yep.
But she tried to say it was only about 4 days prior.
That it popped up after she left Holiday's is what she said, which clearly he had it longer than that.
I guess Tyree was helping him. It seems like out of the kindness of his heart, he took them.
Yeah, he would feed Dante, like, he would get, because Tyree don't cook. He would try and go out to restaurants and stuff. He'd go like McDonald's and stuff, get Dante stuff to eat.
So he just fed him, just wanted to make sure he was cared for.
Yeah.
Did he ever care for him alone before the sixth?
Nope, that was the first time.
All right, so there was never any babysitting, quote-unquote, opportunity there.
Nope.
It seems like what happened, as he sort of insinuated in one of his messages, was that she set him up a little bit.
Yeah, that's what it is. It was like a setup. It was like we were playing hot potato with Dante, and Tyree was the last one to have him.
Yeah.
Because Dante was supposedly acting off that day, a little bit off. But Tyree didn't pay much mind to it because he wasn't thinking like that. Like, who's going to turn around and think that this child that he's, you know, that's around, that he has like a really bad injury, a head injury? You can't be able to see that from the outside. And isn't like Dante's able to tell you, I got a headache. I don't feel good. I'm dizzy. He can't say any of that.
Did Dante ever hit his head on things as Leah says he did? Did he ever do that in front of you?
When he would get upset, he would tap his head, but never to the point of having bruises. Like a lot of kids do that, would get mad and throw themselves on the floor, or just go over and just tap their head lightly on the wall, like more or less like pay attention to me kind of thing.
Right, they're not knocking themselves
but
out.
But he would never do it to the point of, no, not to the point of having bruises. He never did that.
Okay, I wasn't sure if that was part of his behavior or what.
So there's a video too, like that she took at, was it September 2nd when she was at the hospital with him? Like, I guess she had wipes and diapers and stuff. He like would grab it. He was getting upset that she wouldn't let him have it or something. Then he would like tap his head on her hand.
So it wasn't like he was looking to hurt himself. He just wanted to kind of...
No, he's just trying to... Because he can't talk. So he's thinking of ways to try to get what he wants. Maybe he wanted picked up and comforted.
So he was alone with Tyree, but only for a couple of hours.
I think it was like an hour and 30 minutes is what I think of what it was.
I guess your mom had said something about her having headaches in school. Did she have a history of migraines at all?
She had what they called it, chronic headache syndrome. She should get migraines once in a while, like she should throw up. But when she lived with me, she never had a migraine to the point of throwing up. But she'd have them. Then I'd turn around and ask her, did you take medicine? She'd say, no. Well, obviously, how are you going to get rid of it if you don't take nothing?
Did she ever go to the emergency room before for a migraine?
When she lived with my dad, she did one time. But my dad thinks it's kind of more like for attention since he was at the hospital for something. Then all the time she lived with me, she never went to the hospital for a migraine. And just that one time she went, and she never got, like, she went there, you know, got checked in and everything, but she was never seen.
Now, when did you hear that Dante was in the hospital?
I heard through my other little sister, like she like messaged me. She said, Dante's in the hospital. He stopped breathing. And then that's the thing I knew. I'm like, why would he stop breathing? I'm sitting there thinking, like, what kind of things that would make a child, you know, stop breathing? I was thinking, because you could get, like, something like croup.
Mm-hmm.
Then you got the RSV infection. Like, I was trying to think of, you know, different things. And later she tries and tells me, oh, then it comes out that it's head trauma. I'm like, well, then that's serious. Head trauma.
That's a different story. I know he had trouble swallowing and things like that, but that does not, you know, unless he actively choked. Do you know if he had any cookies or anything in his throat? Did they find anything?
There was cookies in his throat because Tyree got the cookie out of his throat. But the thing is, I think maybe that injury, his brain injury, I think was taking effect. And that's probably why that happened.
It could be. That would definitely affect everything in his body. And then you had said you were not able to visit him in the hospital.
Nope. She wouldn't let me see him.
Were you guys talking at all at that point?
I got onto her Facebook because she left her laptop here, her old laptop, which was still on her account. So I would like unblock myself because she blocked me. So I'm like, come on. I'm like, come on. Like, let me see Dante. Like, I put our differences aside for that. I couldn't even ignore that she's there because that's what I told him. Like, if he has any chance at all, hearing our voices would bring him back.
Yeah, for sure.
If there was a chance.
So she didn't let you in. Did she let any members of the family in to see him?
She let my mom, and then my one sister came up to visit from Texas the same exact time all this stuff happened, which I find interesting how it all happened when she was coming up to visit, because Leah knew she was coming up to visit. She eventually let mom and Shauna see him, but then they had to watch what they said because they didn't want to risk her kicking him out and then not being able to see him.
Yeah, you have to walk on eggshells, that's for sure.
Yes, that's what they were doing.
And then once Dante, when she decided to take him off life support, I wanted to clear up the date because there's a couple different dates out there. So he was pronounced dead on the 15th.
Yeah, that's when they did the last brain activity test on him.
And then he stayed on the life support until the 16th with the idea that the organs were going to be donated.
They wanted to check to make sure they could be donated since he had an STD.
Okay, so they knew that at that time.
Yeah, Hershey's the one I diagnosed it.
Got it. Okay, so they found out once he got transferred there. They definitely haven't mentioned that in any of the news articles or anything yet.
Well, Leah said it on the news. The first news interview she did is where she mentioned that he had an STD, too. I'm like, since you throw it out there, I'm going to put it out there, too.
Yeah, exactly. If she already mentioned it, then I would say you couldn't be held accountable for that.
Which I think that's an important factor because Tyree doesn't have herpes and Leah doesn't have herpes. So how did Dante get it?
Well, there's definitely something going on there. I mean, there's no doubt that somebody was doing something extremely inappropriate.
Yeah, they're missing a perp.
Yeah, it sounds like for sure. One way or the other, even if Tyree was responsible for the head injury and whatnot.
Yep.
Someone else is responsible for the STD. Oh, yep. There's no way he could have caused that out of nowhere. So something is missing. There's definitely a piece missing. Now, Leah's charges are still, she's been indicted, but she's not in jail right now.
She has the child endangerment charge, which way it sounds, that detective didn't even want to charge her with that. I think the only reason why he charged her with that is because defense was on his ass. They weren't going to charge her with it.
They just weren't going to charge her at all. That's incredible.
No.
Now, as far as Tyree goes, he's been in York County prison since he was arrested.
Yep.
There's no bail, or he's not able to make bail either way. He's just sitting there.
There's no bail. They wouldn't let him go out on bail.
Based on the severity of the charges and everything.
But they let other people with charges like that out on bail.
Yeah, sometimes. I definitely have seen some people who shouldn't be.
I've seen them.
Yeah, no doubt about that. Have you talked to him?
Yes, I have talked to him.
And I know his mom has a Justice for Tyree page out there.
Yeah, she made that a little bit after I made the Dante page. And then we all started talking.
Okay, so that's how it all kind of came about. Leah had mentioned on the news at one point about the Justice for Dante page. And she was angry about how people were reacting to her.
No, she was angry that I try and put it out there because I'm not his mom kind of thing. It's like she's like has a jealousy and she's very bitter.
Yeah.
And then she stated, I'm trying to make money off his death, which is a lie. But yet they made a GoFundMe page that they stated that was supposedly made by Justice for Dante trying to make, what was it? I think it was like 10K is what they were trying to get.
Oh, interesting. And she said that was for the funeral?
In which, yeah, that's what it supposedly was for. It wasn't her that wrote it. It's not in her writing because the way the person spoke, it's not Leah. It sounds like Ghost.
Ghost?
Yeah, because the way he talked, they stated that Dante was sodomized.
Where that has never been put out there anywhere.
No, but they put it out there. I got screenshots of it. I have it saved.
But other than that, that's the only time anyone's come out with that detail.
Yeah.
Ghost is another friend?
He was another one that was around Dante, another Latin King.
So just basically during that last couple of months, she was hanging around with a lot of the, you know, the gang members, people involved with drugs and things like that.
Yeah.
But he wasn't a boyfriend or anything.
She did have sex with him too. He signed the new baby's birth certificate, even though he's not the daddy.
Wow. Okay. Oh, there's still a controversy about that, right? The term.
Well, they did a DNA test. He's not the dad.
Oh, they did.
So we know he's not the dad. I have the DNA test results.
Is that the second baby she had afterward?
That's the first baby she had after Dante.
And Tyree doesn't know if that's his baby or not.
They took his DNA, but never gave him documentation saying if he was or wasn't the father, which I find that shady. And Leah never got the documentation for it either. Explain that one.
Who knows about it? It's just the lab?
Well, Chilled Youth knows about it, obviously.
So they knew she was pregnant. The detective even said so at the preliminary hearing or one of the court hearings.
Yeah, she got pregnant in September. If it's not Tyree, she got pregnant in September after Dante died.
And so she had that baby the following year. And did CYS swoop in immediately?
Yep, they took it right. Yep, they took it right after it was born.
And then the next one.
But yet the fatality report says the abuse was unfounded. But yet, then what reason do they have to try and take that baby?
The fatality report actually does say it was unfounded against Leah.
Yeah. So what grounds do they have to take the other babies if it was supposedly unfounded?
Did they give any reason for that?
never told us anything. I'm not sure if they told her anything, because we all know children use lies. That's no secret.
Yeah, they're not the most upfront and forthcoming with information.
No.
So she had that baby, and then she got pregnant again. And how did they know about that one?
Well, obviously, because she goes to the doctors, and they, like, every time she goes to the doctors, they pregnancy test her. And then, of course, if she has anything, that, you know, the doctors probably notify children and youth.
And then the second baby got taken away as well.
Yep.
Right out of the hospital again.
Yep.
It makes sense, you know, based on the context of everything, that they would take the kids away, but not if there was never any official reason for that.
Yeah, because if they're going to, they put it out there online that it was unfounded, then why are you taking the babies in if it was unfounded?
Yeah, that's interesting. There's a lot of just moving pieces here, and it's hard to put them all together. And, well, I don't envy, you know, the prosecutors, but also you have to wonder what's being suppressed. They don't want you to talk.
A lot of things, clearly. Yeah, they definitely don't want me to talk.
I mean, it's a little late for that now, but it is interesting that the law they used to charge you has only been used to charge, what, two people in 2 decades?
I'm the second person. I'm number two. The first person was a child and youth caseworker. That's who that law is supposed to be used for.
Right, that makes sense. It's going to be really interesting to see how it pans out. They're definitely kind of overstepping their bounds, I would say.
They've been after me ever since my TV interview, why I around brought up children and youth on the first TV interview, and the detective was pissed about it. But it's stupid if Tyree already knows about children and youth, and Leah posted on her Facebook, all my ex call CYS on me again. Or, I mean, you know, about them calling CYS on her.
Right, yeah.
I'm like, come on now, it's not private. It's not a secret. Everybody knows about this.
It doesn't sound like it was a secret. And usually when tragedies like this happen, if there was any CYS involvement or any whatever agency it is in that particular state, that comes out early on. So I'm not sure why in Dante's situation it would have been such a...
Because there should be other people getting charged, really, if you think about it, because they pretty much helped facilitate his murder.
Yeah, that last visit there from CYS on the, I guess, September 2nd.
They seen Dante on the 6th, too, because they took Leah to go get Dante rechecked, his genitals rechecked.
They took her for that.
Yeah, and then in the morning of the 6th, they're like, come on, they seen him the whole time.
And looking at that diagram... The 5-page forensic diagram from one of those two visits with the bruises just everywhere. It really makes you wonder.
Yeah, and those are on the second, just like that cigarette burn, which clearly was on his face on the second. Maybe the makeup made it lighter. I don't know. But it was there.
That was the up on his temple there?
Yeah, that's the cigarette burn. Because that's on the map. If you, like, I didn't think nothing of it. I'm like, well, then how? What about the cigarette burn? I'm sitting there thinking of it. Then I'm like, wait a minute. Let me look back at the map. So, like, what was already fucking mapped on there? Because if you look September 2nd on the map, like, you see where they have it, like, put on the map.
Yeah, it really doesn't seem like they should have overlooked, especially with the nurse, you know, giving her opinion and saying he was definitely...
That he should be taken.
Yeah, he was at risk for sure. And it seems like these government agencies have far too much immunity.
Yeah, they do. They take children from people for a little stupid shit, but they leave the ones that really need saved behind.
I can't even begin to tell you how many family members I've talked to that have said the same thing. It's just always the wrong families. They're taking kids where they shouldn't be, and they're leaving them where they shouldn't be.
And they take them from people because they know they don't have the money to fight it.
Yeah.
That and a lot of the lawyers are clearly in their pocket. They get to say, do whatever, like they don't lie, and they do lie.
Oh, sure. Yeah, they really do cover themselves. They definitely have too much immunity.
Too much immunity and too much power. But yet, the cops have to have a video camera on them. Why don't they have to have a camera on them, too?
That is one of the best ideas I've ever heard, honestly. There's no way they shouldn't, considering the sensitivity of what they do.
Yeah, I think, like, when they go see people, they should be recording all their interactions with them.
Definitely.
Because whatever, even if the person's telling the truth, child and youth is whatever child and youth says goes. Because they're telling the truth, even if they're lying.
Whatever's documented, that's the truth.
Yep, what they say against what you say.
That is kind of scary when you think about it. And, I mean, you don't have to think about it much because you're living it.
Yep.
There's only been a few cases I can even think of where anyone from an agency like that has been charged after a death like this. And I would love to see it happen more often, but with the government immunity, I think that's what's happening is they can cover up as much as they want. There's no consequences for them.
Nope. And that's really going to keep on doing it.
The whole system needs an overhaul, that's for sure. Like your dad said, if, you know, someone had stepped in, if he had just been taken away from her on the second, he would probably still be here.
Maybe or maybe not, depending on when that head injury happened.
Right. Now, oh, that's another thing I wanted to ask you about is the forensic pathologist at Tyree's preliminary hearing had said that the injuries.
Yeah, that guy's an idiot.
That's what I was wondering.
No, because he was stuttering on his stand. You could tell this guy's nervous. It's like, maybe what the cops tell you what to say? They said it happened right after Rutter. So let me guess, Tyree was driving as he was beating the shit out of him, right?
That sounds legit, yeah. So there's an expert in, was it in Europe?
I think that's where he stays at, because he's originally from Maryland, but he was over in Europe doing, I think he was college professor, maybe.
So basically Tyree's defense team is trying to get this expert to come back.
Yeah, because then a whole COVID thing happened, so that messed everything up, and they lost contact with him because the guy changes emails and stuff, I guess, too.
Okay.
So it was hard to keep track of the guy, but they did get a hold of him. He did go over the everything, and he did finally type up his report of his findings.
Okay, so that I would imagine they're going to present if and when this ever comes to trial. Tyree doesn't have a trial date yet, right?
It's in January.
Oh, it is set for January. Okay.
Because prosecution needs time to go over what the defense found and talk to their expert.
Sure. Yeah, there's all kinds of delays when it comes to things like this. I mean, I imagine while Tyree's there in jail, he at least knows that people are fighting for him.
Yeah.
It's so hard to say what actually happened since no one was there other than the three of them. And supposedly Leah was not there at the time it happened, although it's hard to say again when it happened.
That, and then with the bruises and different stages of healing, where was she at when all those happened?
Oh, there was definitely abuse going on before that day. There's no doubt.
Just like he had a fractured wrist that was over 2 weeks old. That's not on there either.
Yeah, they didn't mention that in the CYS report.
No, it was over 2 weeks old, which would have probably happened before Tyree came into picture, and it was already had new bone growth, and it was healing back wrong.
So was that in the autopsy report?
That should be on the autopsy report, too.
Yeah, I would hope so.
But children, you don't have that in their stuff.
No, they didn't mention that at all.
No.
And then they didn't mention the STD either.
No, of course not. You got to cover this up.
Right. Where was that? That one document that I saw a screenshot of somewhere that does mention it. Where was that from?
Hershey.
Oh, the hospital. Okay. So it was definitely officially documented.
Yep.
It's interesting that wouldn't be in any of the COIS reports or anything like that.
No.
So as far as them coming after you for releasing all of this information.
They are more mad about the children and youth stuff. Like, you could talk about it, but don't take pictures of the papers.
That's just so, I don't even have words for that. It's just so strange. If you have access to the paperwork, it seems like it should be yours to do with as you wish.
And it isn't like I turned and got into their database and printed it out myself.
No, it's a very strange case. I'm still going through a few articles that they've written up after that. But, you know, it's interesting that it's such a rarely applied law and suddenly you are being charged with it. But that's still ongoing.
Yep.
Do you have any idea when they're planning to take it to trial or how that stands?
My next court date is in October. I think it's October 20th. That's my plea date.
A plea date is when it could possibly come to a plea agreement.
Well, I ain't coming to a plea agreement because I'm not guilty.
Right, exactly. Don't waste
nobody's time and money.
Well, good luck with that. I really do hope you can kind of basically serve it right back to them. It doesn't seem right that they should be going after you, who tried to care for this baby more than anybody else. And
then if they really want to get down and technical, those papers were on the Fox 43 news interview in, what was it? I think it was February of 2020, before the whole COVID thing. Why didn't we charge the reporter then and the cameraman?
They accessed the documents that you guys had?
I had the documents with me when we did the news interview. you can see them. Like, if you watch the video, you can see, like, I think it was like two of the documents you can see on there. I'm like, then why did they get charged?
Right. When did they charge you? It was just this summer?
I think it was like January or February of this year. They had a warrant for my Facebook 2 years in a row. They had it for 2019 and 2020 for my Justice for Dante page. But yet, I never got told of this. The only reason why I found out about it is because Facebook emailed me and told me. Facebook emails you when law enforcement has a warrant for your Facebook page.
Interesting. I did not know that. So they, I guess they just took what they wanted and decided to apply it. I guess it's a kind of a bullying technique.
It is. It's because supposedly, I think it was a child and youth worker that follows Dante's page. I guess she's seen something she didn't like and she told the cops. Then you know how the cops got to protect children and youth. They protect each other.
Never mind protecting the children, but yeah.
Yeah, yeah. We have time to go waste time on Facebook looking at my Facebook page, but we don't watch the news.
It doesn't make sense. The news articles were linked through the page as well, but I guess they didn't go that far.
Oh, no, they just don't care about that stuff. It's just me.
Yeah. They can't bully the news into not telling certain things, so they can go after the little guy, you know?
Yep.
I really hope that you can get out from under these charges. It seems ridiculous to me that they'd be wasting their time on this.
It is ridiculous. The time we waste for that, we could actually get the real perps.
Yeah, they really do need to find out how Dante was infected with herpes. There's no way a not quite 3-year-old.
Yeah, because are they going to apologize to the other victims' families when it comes out that guy molested more kids?
Yeah.
Or are you just going to tell them you're sorry and just not charge them and just sweep that under the rug too?
Being molested is one thing, and then being infected with a lifelong illness is something else altogether. It's just completely unfair. Well, thank you for bringing Dante's case to me. I'm glad that you told me about him, and I want to help get his story out there any way I can. And the most important thing to me is that these kids' memories stay alive and they get justice.
Yeah, because they matter.
Huge thank you to Sarah for being so open and candid about Dante and her family. It can't be easy opening the door to your proverbial house and letting the public inside to see the inner workings of your family, and I think it says a lot about Sarah's dedication to her nephew and getting true justice for Dante that she's done so a number of times. I hope with all my heart that anyone who's truly responsible for this precious 2-year-old boy's abuse and death ends up spending significant time behind bars where they belong. Dante couldn't live a full life, but at the very least, he should have the dignity of full justice being served. Sleep in peace, little monkey man. You will never be forgotten. That's it for this week. Join me next week for another story. If you like the show, please follow or subscribe to Suffer the Little Children on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Pandora, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, or your favorite podcast listening app. And please leave me a 5-star rating and a positive review on your favorite podcast platform. You can also subscribe on YouTube by searching Suffer the Little Children Podcast. Visit the website at sufferthelittlechildrenpod.com, where you can listen to episodes or become a patron for rewards ranging from a shout-out by name on the show to exclusive gifts. Follow the podcast on Facebook, Instagram, Tumblr, and Pinterest at Suffer the Little Children Pod, and on Twitter and TikTok at STLCPod. View photos related to today's episode on Facebook and Instagram. For more stories like the one you heard today, visit sufferthelittlechildrenblog.com. This podcast is researched, written, hosted, edited, and produced by Lane. Intro theme music is by Dream Note Music, and all music for the show is licensed from audiojungle.net. Email tips, comments, questions, or case suggestions to sufferthelittlechildrenpod@gmail.com. For more information about preventing or reporting child abuse, visit childhelp.org or call your area's child abuse hotline. If you see something, say something. Until next week, bye everyone.